I did ask to hear from Mr. Hammer before, Chairman, so now might be an opportune time for his observations on the approach he will be taking on the question of mark to market when it comes to the book profit we announced for September 30. And a question I've raised with you before, I understand that the Macquarie Group is one of the two or three biggest fee-paying clients of PwC worldwide. It's tens of millions of dollars. They're auditing most of our funds, plus the headstock. Badcock adopts the governance high ground of having EY audit the headstock, and then usually PwC auditing most of their vehicles. Again, I've said before, I've got a problem with the fact that the chairman of the Badcock Audit Committee has an office at PwC, which is not a good look, but that's what they do. So my question is, I want him to respond on the question of the book values. And once again, why aren't we adopting a model of having a different audit firm for our listed funds as opposed to the headstock like Babcock does?
Ian, would you like... I mean, before I ask Mr. Hammond to comment, I should just point out that the Audit Committee is required to confirm the independence of PwC annually, and the policy of PwC as part of that assessment is for the partner who works on the headstock, the group, is a different partner, and the people involved in that audit are different people, and there is a requirement for the partner to be rotated every 5 years. But Ian, would you like to add any further, Mark?
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Mr. Main, for your question. If I could just start by apologising for not standing up to address the shareholders. Unfortunately, I have a sporting injury and I'm on crutches, but thank you for your questions nonetheless. Can I answer the first question in relation to the carrying values of investments in the funds that you referred to? There is a general description of our audit approach and our audit work in the annual report, which is included on page 215. But in this context of my opinion there and the explanation there, I would like to confirm to the meeting that in the course of the audit we do conduct procedures specifically looking at the carrying value of the investments. They're described in the financial statements as investments in associates. Without going into the technicalities of the accounting standard requirements, the accounting standard requirements are that these assets firstly need to be assessed if they're impaired, and secondly that they are carried at the higher of fair value, i.e. market value, and what's called value of in use. As the chairman has indicated, that requires management and the directors to assess the underlying value of those investments. As I've indicated in the course of our work, I could confirm that the financial statements that were prepared and presented by the directors at March do comply with those accounting standard requirements. And I can assure you that my partners will again be examining these issues at 30 September. Moving to your second question, in relation to independence, I can assure the meeting that there are no legal or professional restrictions which would prevent my firm undertaking audit work for both the funds and the bank and the group. As the chairman has indicated, there are other stakeholders, there are other independent boards of directors of those funds who are responsible for the audit appointments of those funds. Secondly, it is common practice in Australia that there is frequently the same firm auditing a group and the funds. In fact, that is the normal situation for all the other major banks in this country, the major listed retail banks. And let me assure shareholders that the scope of our work in conducting this audit is consistent with the size and the geographical diversity and the diversity of operations of this group, and we continue to maintain our independence in all situations. Thank you.